In Mark chapter 4, Jesus had spent the day teaching the people, and he says in verse 35, as Adam read to us a minute ago, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake, go over to the other side of the sea. And so they take him and get in a boat, and I want you to notice, first of all, that the disciples were being obedient to what God told them to do. And yet, in that obedience, they got out in this lake, and they had a storm. Windstorm, wave storm, a storm on the lake, whatever you want to call it. They got right in the middle of a storm. This week, I was home all week and got to visit on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and some visits yesterday with different people in our church. And I'll just tell you this morning, there's a lot of people in this room even, that are going through some storms in their life. And so that's what I want to preach about this morning, the storms of life, the storms of life. Now, I know because of the Lord's Supper, I have less time than I normally do, and usually I only have 3 points, but this morning I have 7. And so you're going to have to listen in a hurry this morning, okay? So don't daydream, because if you daydream, even for a second, you'll miss a whole point, and they all go together. So here we go, point number one. Storms come into every life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how much money you got. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't even matter, in some cases, of your spiritual condition, your standing with God. Storms come into every life. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's the death of a loved one. Sometimes it's a child that doesn't do exactly what you want them to do. Sometimes it's a broken relationship. And I could go on, and I won't for sake of time, but things like that come into every life. Just like storms come to every sea, to every ocean, so into every life at times come the storms of life. Point number two, sometimes those storms are self-made. Sometimes they just come. There was a man in the Bible who I'm going to preach about tonight named Jonah. He got into a storm, and the other people in the ship, through a series of circumstances, threw him overboard. He was swallowed by a great big fish and spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of that fish. So he was in a storm, not only in the storm on the top of the ocean, but a storm, if you try riding in the belly of a great big fish, and the Bible talks about it, it's like a roller coaster in the dark that never ends for 3 days. Can you imagine that? I mean, and I use Jonah as an example of somebody that got into a storm of his own making. Because God said, Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh, and I want you to tell them about me. I want you to preach about God. And Jonah disobeyed God. He went, got in a ship, and went the opposite way from Nineveh. And sometimes we as Christians disobey God, and whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so he sends into our life some storms to try to get our attention, to try to get us to turn around and go in the direction that he wants to go. But there are other times when we're doing exactly what we are supposed to do. We're walking down the road, the exact road that we're supposed to walk down. We're being exactly what we want, that God wants us to be. And sometimes, even in those conditions, storms come. So, if you're here this morning and you're in disobedience to God, I mean, I don't know what it is, but you do. God has told you to do something, and you said, nope, I am not going to do it. Expect a storm. And if you're here today and you're obeying God, well, you expect one too. Because they come into every life. Number three, some storms last just for a season. I think here with the disciples, it maybe lasted less than an hour. Just a little bit of time. In Jonah's storm, he was in the storm for probably at least 3 days because he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of that fish and don't know how long he was in the boat, but for over 3 days. In Acts chapter 27, we read about the Apostle Paul. He was on his way to Rome, and he was on a ship traveling that way, and he got into a hurricane. And that storm lasted for 14 days. And so the length of the storm varies. Some storms last for just a few hours. You get into a situation, you get into a storm, and just a couple hours later, it's gone. Some storms last days. Some storms last weeks. Some storms last years. And for some people, their storms last for a lifetime. Number four, some storms cause us to lose hope. When the wind blew this day on the Sea of Galilee, when the disciples were in the ship with Jesus, they came to him and they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They had lost hope. They thought they were about to die. They thought the ship was going to sink and they would all go down to their death. They had lost hope. Jonah, as he prayed from the belly of that fish, he says, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." He didn't know if he was going to get out of that fish or not. I mean, he didn't know how long God was going to keep him in that fish. And he probably couldn't tell how long he'd been there. And as the hours passed, I imagine Jonah began to lose hope. And he said, "Am I ever going to get out of this storm?" Same thing with the Apostle Paul. Same thing, the 14 days that he spent in a storm. There are storms that we get into, and we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. There are storms that we get into that we can't see the way out. There are storms that we get into, and we begin to pray, and it seems like God doesn't hear us. And it seems like God is being unfair. And it seems like God does not know what's going on in our life. And as we pray and we get no answer, we sometimes go to God and we say, why are you letting this happen? Don't you love me anymore? Don't you care what's going on in my life? And sometimes in the middle of a storm, we lose hope. Point number five, I want to remind you, God always knows what's going on when we're in a storm. He always knows what's going on. The Bible says there's not one sparrow that falls to the earth without our Father knowing about it. The Bible says that he clothes the lilies of the field. The Bible says he knows the number of hairs on our head. Now, in some of our cases, the count's going down. But in other cases, you still have a lot of it. And so God numbers the hairs on our head. And I want to remind you this morning, I don't care what storm you're going through. I don't care what circumstances exist in your life today. God knows exactly what's happening in your life. He is not going to be surprised. He knows what's happening. I would remind you as well, when we don't think he hears our prayers, when we think he sort of turned us off in heaven, when we think that he doesn't care about what's going on in our life, he hears every prayer. He does care. He does know. And I got some more good news for you. He's still the master of the sea. When the disciples went to Jesus and they said, "Don't you care that we perish?" He got up and he said to the wind and the waves and the sea, he said, "Just be still. Just quiet down. Just calm down." And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even in the wind and the sea obey him?" You see, it was still early in their getting to know Jesus. They didn't know who he was. They didn't know what he could do. But I'm glad that we got a God that regardless of what storm is going on in our life, he has the power to calm it. He has the power to make it be still. As we sing in that song, he's the master of the sea, billows his will obey, and he hasn't changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the same Jesus that stood on the deck of that ship hundreds of years ago when it was filling up with water, when the winds were blowing, when it was tipping back and forth, and he said to the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." It's the same Jesus that we have today. The same Jesus that's with us in the middle of our storms. And he has the same power to say to the waves and the winds and the circumstances of our life, "Peace, be still." Point number 6. The purpose of every storm is to drive you closer to him. The purpose of every storm that comes into our life is to drive you to the master. What did the disciples do? I mean, they were rowing for all they were worth. They had the sails down. They were trying to get back to the land. And when they lost all hope, they came running to Jesus. They came to the back part of the ship, the hinder part of the ship, and they woke up the sleeping Savior and they said, "Don't you care that we perish? You gotta help us." When Jonah was down in the belly of that fish, all hope was gone. That's when he began to pray. He didn't pray when he should have been on, when he went to Tarsus instead of going to Nineveh. He didn't say, "Lord, make your will clear to me. Tell me which way you want me to go." No, he knew the will of God. It was clear. And he walked in the opposite direction, went in the opposite direction. And it wasn't until God got a hold of him and put him in the belly of that fish that he got down on his knees. And you go ahead and you read Acts chapter 27. You'll find the Bible says that Paul was gone for a long time. And he was down in the hold of that ship, in the bottom of that ship, down on his knees. Because when he came up, he says, "An angel of the Lord spoke to me." An angel of the Lord appeared to me. You know why? Because he'd been down on his knees talking to God about the storm. When our storms come, God allows them to come into our life to drive us to him. Let me just ask you, those that are in the storm, those that have gone through a storm, when were you closer to God? When the sun was shining or when the storm clouds rolled overhead? When did you spend more time in prayer? When everything was going good or when your world was breaking apart? When did you get closer to God? When you were living on the mountaintop and had all the money you needed and you were healthy? Or was it when you or somebody you loved was sick and you didn't know if they were going to make it or not? You know the answer to that. It's a rhetorical question. Most of us don't seek after God when things are going right. But let things begin to go wrong and we go running to God. You say, "Preacher, I don't want to be that kind of person." Well, neither do I. I want to stay close to him all the time. But even your preacher sometimes gets out in the ding weeds, and God's got to send a storm into his life to get him back to where he needs to be, close to Jesus. Point number 7. Some storms he calms. He did for the disciples. He got up and he said, "Peace, be still." And the waves and the winds were still. In fact, the Bible says there was a great calm after he said to the winds and waves, "Be still." But there are other storms that he doesn't calm. Other circumstances that he doesn't get rid of. He just says to us, "Hang on. Hang on. And by the way, I'll hang on with you. I'll hang on with you. I'll be right there, and we'll make it through the storm together." And we go through the storm, and maybe we come out of it. And we look back at the storm and we say, boy, we sure do have a good God. We sure do have a good God. There's two songs in our hymn book that we sing that talks about storms. First one, the name of it is The Solid Rock. The words go like this. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. If you're a Christian here this morning and you're in the middle of the storm, and there are many here in the middle of a storm that know Jesus Christ is your Savior, he's trying to get you to that same point. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Second song we sing is Love Lifted Me. The words of that one go like this. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. That's the song of somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's the song of somebody that is a sinner. Sunday school this morning taught the little kids about Adam and Eve disobeying God, eating of that fruit that he told them not to eat. Shared with them, as I'll share with you now, that ever since Adam and Eve, because we all descend from Adam and Eve, we all have what we call a sinful nature, a tendency to sin. When we get into a tight spot, and even the little kids admitted it, when they get into a tight spot, it's easier to tell a little lie than it is to tell the truth. It's easier to be dishonest than it is to honest. That's our sinful nature coming out. I told them a little story about myself when I was a little boy. If they come home and tell you a wild tale, don't believe it. If somebody tells you, you come to me and I'll set the record straight. Because you know how those little kids, they'll exaggerate it. And anyhow, but we have a sinful nature. And we come to a point in our life where that sinful nature leads us to sin. We disobey God. We tell a lie. We disobey our parents. We cheat. We steal. I mean, I could list all the sins, but you know what? It only takes one to make us a sinner. The Bible says if we offend the law in one point, we're guilty of breaking them all. So as somebody that has told a little white lie in my past, I'm just as guilty in God's sight as a thief, a murderer, somebody that breaks all the Ten Commandments. And so when that song says, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more, those words described all of us at one time. All of us at one time in our life were sinners. We were stained within with the blackness of sin. We were sinking just like in quicksand, sinking to rise no more. But there's many here this morning that the next part of the song is true about, where it says, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. when I was a sinner and I realized that I could do nothing to save myself, when I was a sinner and realized that my sin was going to separate me from God forever, when I was a sinner and realized that my eternal destination was hell, and I had no hope, and I realized that I was sinking, never to rise again, never to get out of that grip that sin had on me, I did like many of you have already done. I cried out to Jesus. I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I can't do anything to change that. I need you to do something for me and in my life that I can't do myself. And my pastor took the Bible, and from the Bible showed me how Jesus went to the cross and how God laid on him all of my sin. And when he died on the cross, he wasn't paying for any sin that he committed. He was paying for my sin, every single one of them. And he was paying for your sin. And that song says, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry from the waters, lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. And you know what? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, he'll do exactly the same thing for you. You're a sinner. You have no hope apart from Jesus Christ. You are sinking in the quicksand of sin, and its grip on you is getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and one day it will pull you down into hell, and you will live eternally apart from God. And there's nothing, just like a person that's trapped in this quicksand, there's nothing you can do to get out of it. You can struggle, but the struggle only makes it worse. You can fight, but the fight only makes it worse. What you need to do is call for help. And there's only one person that can help, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Disciples, the same storm recorded over in the book of Matthew. Different storm, because Jesus wasn't in the ship with them. Different storm. Disciples out in the middle of the sea. Storm came. They see somebody they thought was a spirit walking on the water toward them. And they were afraid. And Jesus calls to him. He said, hey, don't be afraid. It's me. And Peter was in the ship. He says, if it's really you, let me walk on the water to you. And Jesus said, come on. Get on out of the ship. Come on. Peter got out of the ship. He began to walk toward Jesus. And the Bible says that when he saw the waves and he saw the wind and the storm, and he took his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. And the Bible says he cried out that little two-word prayer, save me. Save me. And the master of the sea went over and took him by the hand, lifted him up. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you don't have to pray much more than those two words. Save me. Save me. Would you do that this morning? I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm asking you to call out to the one, the only one that can get you out of the grip of sin. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you do that this morning? Man, woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter if it's your first time here, if you've been here 100 times, it doesn't matter. If you need Jesus, you call on him today. Father, thank you for this book, for the truth that it tells us. Father, I pray if there's